Hello and welcome to the official podcast of Palate Exposure, featuring Ilona Thompson, a podcast for those seeking the ultimate in wine, food, and travel. Each week, she interviews winemakers, chefs, celebrities, and a variety of guests that shape the way we enjoy life.
Making other people happy makes me happy. When I see the excitement or the joy or the passion on people's faces, whether here or Satui, it makes me feel really good. You know, Satui's evolved. We have a Michelin star chef now. We do a lot more. You know, in the beginning, you know, you got to admit, some of the things came out of cans in our deli. Now we have a kitchen, 7 to 8 cooks, 7 days a week, bringing fresh food, best quality we can make, to our deli 3 times a day.
Wow.
But of course the competition's evolved too. So you either go up or you get put by the wayside. We have almost 200 cheeses. But I have to admit, competition's caught up with me a lot. I had almost 200 cheeses 40 years ago. Well, not 40 years ago. I only had the one 12-foot rusted case. But maybe 30 years ago, I had almost, and nobody had a deli like we had, or cheese shop. But now there's Whole Foods and Dean and DeLuca and some of their local stores. They're pretty good, I have to say. The cheddar producer in Sonoma, a penny a pound a month extra to age the cheddar, because I wanted 5-year-old cheddar, not 12-month-old cheddar. So I paid him extra to do that. They're just little things like that.
You're a perfectionist, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to do it, do it. You want to try something else?
Yes, let's move on to the next wine of your choice.
Can I pour you either the Sangiovese or the Zingaro?
I would absolutely
prior
love
to
that.
The Il Barone?
Yes, I would really enjoy that. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to lose this if I...
We're having the wine open and we're tasting the Sangiovese and the Zingaro, which means gypsy in Italian. And you speak Italian at on native level, is that correct?
Yeah, I speak badly. I make a lot of mistakes, but I get along. Yeah.
Well, you spend quite a bit of time in Italy, right, with your properties and such. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. A few months a year, or?
Well, now about 3 months a year.
Uh-huh.
I just bought a place in France too. So
whereabouts?
Near Poitiers. Do you know where that is?
No, I don't.
4 hours southwest of Paris, 3 hours northeast of Bordeaux. About 2 hours from the Atlantic Ocean.
What attracted you to that spot?
I'll show you.
Oh my goodness. I'm looking at a cover of a book, and it's a castle that's quite breathtaking.
Wow. I looked on my computer at 1,200 castles, and we got floor plans and photos and on and on and on. And then we went and visited, we narrowed it down to 15, visited 12 of the 15, not all 15. And then we took another trip, and when it was narrowed down to 3, and then we chose this one.
Wow. So
I told you I had
continues.
A disease. I can't resist.
Well, a bit of an addiction, but things that beautiful, who can blame you? I wish you guys could see, you know, this is, again, a cover of a book with a castle that looks like a fairy tale.
But I don't belong to any clubs. I don't have an airplane. I don't have a hot car. I don't have a boat. I don't have anything. I just love architecture.
Well, clearly that love of architecture translates into doing something that I don't believe anyone has, you know, even attempted. I know that there's some generational ownership when it comes to a lot of European dwellings as such, but you know, in my travels I came across a few that, you know, unfortunately very hard to support it because they're very expensive. So it's not something that's easy to accomplish, to own a building of that size and upkeep. And you choose again something that's very challenging. So this is the wine that
this is
pays homage to.
We make two Sangioveses.
Heritage.
We found this vineyard which over in Wooden Valley, and we really like it. And so we put the vineyard name on the label. I gave the owner a free week at the monastery. Anything I can do. I don't want to lose these grapes. So we're really happy with the vineyard.
Voyager. Very good.
So this year I'm going to bring some Sangiovese to Tuscany and compare it against some of theirs, because I think this will hold up pretty well.
Wow. Another gorgeous bouquet on the nose.
It's a beautiful bouquet, isn't it? Cherries, herbs.
Yes, a little bit of a dry herb. Your wines are really joyous. As I'm smelling and tasting them, one thing that leaps to mind is that there's definitely the hedonic quality to them. We talked about the age-worthiness, but your wines are wines of pleasure, are they not?
I'm sorry, yeah.
Sorry, they're very pleasurable to me when I smell them and I taste them.
I agree.
Which is very, very important. I think sometimes we get caught in, the collegial properties and intellectual properties of wines. I'm a big fan of just that pleasure factor that sometimes doesn't show up for a while, and sometimes it takes decades to get there. In this case, it's clear and present in my glass.
A lot of flavor, it's balanced, it's not real tannic, it's real easy to drink.
Your winemaking, I understand you have a brilliant winemaker and cellar master. How much do your philosophy permeates the actual winemaking?
I set the tone for what I wanted, but I leave the details to Brooks and Peter. I get involved in many, but not all, of the tastings.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Well, that's kind of the leadership qualities.
I decided which varietals I wanted, so forth.
Yeah. So I understand that you're a bit of a gentleman farmer yourself. You have a little farm and organic garden, is that correct?
A garden I do not have.
Okay.
I'm not a gardener.
Stand corrected. So do you spend a lot of time, bonding with nature?
I like to hike. In fact, I wanted to go to, I don't know how familiar you are with Marin County, but up above Fairfax, there's a bunch of lakes. And we go there every year, two or three times, to look at the wildflowers and see some deer and have a picnic by the lake. So I like to go on hikes and walks I like small, I couldn't live in a city. I like small communities and countryside and wildlife. And
do you cook?
I cook some. What I did, I wooed my fiance partly with cooking, but I taught her what I know, and now she's better than me, and so she does the cooking, I do the eating.
So your fiance's name is Irina, she's from Russia, is that correct?
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
She came with a Russian boyfriend, I think the year we opened, and I saw her, and I go, and I was married to another, the only two Russians I've ever known in my life. I was married to one. and so I went up to her and I said, I'll introduce you to my wife, which I did. And they became really good friends. They're not friends anymore. And we didn't go out at all. I didn't cheat on my wife. And for 5 years, she was friends with my wife. But then when it deteriorated with my wife, we started going out, and we have a great relationship. We've been living together for 5-6 years now, and we're going to get married in the future, and I'm lucky. She's great.
Well, you said you're a romantic, so I couldn't help but ask about your romantic side.
Well, listen to this one. I was in Finland in my Volkswagen van.
Yeah.
And I had a choice. In the middle of Finland, I could go straight or go left, and I didn't know, I'd never been in Finland before. So I go straight. Two girls are hitchhiking. In Finland, there's low crime, so it's okay. And one of them was beautiful. I was 28 and a half and she was 16. And of course, we ended up getting married. But I had to win the mother over too.
I was going to say.
And I came back. She'd never been out of Finland, so we took her around Europe. I was on the ski slopes, icicles in my car. I was in love. What did I care about cold? But the mother finally felt sorry for me. And by that time, I think she was 17, just turned 17. And so the mother gave her daughter and I a room in the house. Mm-hmm. Maybe partly to keep an eye on me. I don't know. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it never would have happened in the early 70s in the United States. A mother gave a 17-year-old daughter a room with her almost 30-year-old boyfriend, you know. So, any case, and so I had to win the mother over and the daughter, but in the end it didn't work. Wow. Yeah, I'm a romantic. She was too young.
Well, you married her, so it all worked.
But it was a good adventure. I'm not sorry about it. Smell this. I think it's really good.
No, this is, this is such a frustrating medium, meaning audio, and even video wouldn't work, because if you guys could actually smell what I have in my glass, it's a symphony. It literally is an orchestra of all kinds of fruit, very sweet fruit, but not in the cloying, sweet sense.
I don't know. There's two or three vineyards involved in this. One of them's over 100 years old. One's 30 odd years and one's over 40 years old. So it's old vine gin.
You know, there's so many conversations about wines that are fruit forward. And going on record, I've always really loved, you want to smell fruit and wine. That's what you want to do.
Sometimes it smells so good you almost don't want to drink it.
Exactly. No, it's so perfumey. I mean, you know, this could be in a bottle and I could be putting it like on my wrist right now and be perfectly happy. But I'm so glad that you're making wines that are so generous aromatically and flavorally.
No, earlier you asked a question and I only partially answered. I want to make wines that pair well with food. Mm-hmm. So the food enhances the quality of the wine. The wine hopefully enhances the food aspect. And I know this really overripe, high alcohol style. Mm-hmm. I'm not a proponent of. And mm-hmm. I know we're making wines with higher alcohol than we did, but 15% or more, no, it's too much. Or really over-oaked wines. I'm not a proponent of that either. And I know a lot of Americans like that. But I figure we're small. I can do it my way. And a lot of people won't like probably what we're doing. But enough people will. I can still do it my way. So.
Oh, I think you have plenty of fans. And
I'm not trying to gain the whole market.
Have there been any wines in your wine-consuming career that made a huge impact? Something that just made you sit up and take notice?
Well, early on, I think the Heights wines did. Later, Camus, I told you I'm friends with Chuck Wagner. Mm-hmm. He makes really, really good wines. And and there are others, but those two come to mind.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that this is New World wines, decidedly, but they have Old World soul.
This is so easy to drink.
Yes, they are. And yet, there's that stamina. I'm absolutely convinced that the type of structure in those wines would really reward you if you were to put it away, but you don't have to. And it's hard to put this glass down because they're so delicious. Well, it's quite a treat. These are the wines that, you know, are produced in roughly, what is the case, production? I just want to make sure that people know they can acquire them.
These are all wines that are currently for sale.
For sale.
And now, the Barone I'm going to pour is 2012.
Yeah. Okay.
But we still have some.
You still have some.
But I think the current vintage is 2014. Is that correct? 13.
Okay.
And then I'm off. So it's almost 6 years old.
So what is roughly the case quantity that Chardonnay is? Is it a few thousand or?
I think we made 1,200 to 1,500 cases right okay, in there.
So it's actually quite limited, isn't it? So all your wines are relatively limited lots. They're not, there's no large production wines that, you know.
Only the Fantasia.
The Fantasia, okay.
Yeah, but the Il Barone, we make maybe 3,500 cases of it, but about 400 maybe are used for samples. Yeah. Probably less, 300.
And I have to say, your club gets treated so well. In addition to, you know, the perks that you get as a member, you get invited to these theme parties that are so well executed. It's a full-on theatrical play. It's not just a dinner with lovely wines, but the actual, you know, thought that goes into the planning, it's unlike anything I've ever attended.
Thank you. And then we always critique the parties afterwards. What really? Went wrong? How can we correct it? How can we improve it? And we always have a meeting the day after, you know, what can we do better next time?
Wow. They seem so polished. You know, everything is going off without a hitch. I couldn't imagine anything could possibly go wrong.
Well, things do go wrong sometimes.
So what is the funniest story when something went wrong?
Well, for instance, a year ago, we have a Royal Hearts party, I think it was that one, where I wasn't involved in the entertainment, and I didn't like the entertainment, and you couldn't hear it at the other end, and I was really upset at the person who ordered that. And so now we went back to opera singers, and they go down the length of the Grand Barrel Room, and so that everybody can hear them. And you know, sometimes they're small things, but you know, if certain people aren't really hearing the entertainment and it's all focused down one end,
sure,
that doesn't work for these people. You know, it works for those people, but it doesn't work for the people that aren't really involved. So I try to, when I'm at a party, I'm sitting, I'm eating and drinking, but I'm watching. I'm watching pours, I'm watching what people say, I'm watching.
Attention to detail. I think
you know, sometimes they don't tell you. They pour the wine. First of all, they pour the wine without asking. A second pour. Well, maybe you don't want it. Ask the person. And sometimes they don't say the name of the wine. You know, I'm just all kinds of little things, but little things count. And, you know, and often we waste a lot of wine. You know, or they pour too big a pour, especially at the end of the evening when people don't want it. Come on, use your head. You know.
Wow.
You know, they're trained, but often they seem to forget what they're taught.
Well, listening to you, it becomes so self-evident what it's like to run a successful business. I think everybody could, there's a lot of takeaway.
Yeah, you wonder, I was telling, I think, James earlier, you wonder how any business makes money. Everything that could possibly go wrong to the Castle and Satui have gone wrong. And a lot of things we never could have imagined. One time an employee walked out with a safe. It was not that heavy. I mean, it was heavy, but not that heavy. At Sertui, it was 25 years ago. We've had people, we had recently, a year and a half ago, because we weren't following procedures, some young woman stole $55,000 from us over a period of time. Oh, and we've had that happen at Sertui at least three times. But all we've had floods, we've had all kind of fires, and, you know, you name it. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Whatever you think is going to happen, it's not going to happen. It's going to be different. But somehow we've survived. But you wonder, how does a business make any money? You know, we used to get bad checks or, you know, all kinds of stuff.
But your resilience is remarkable. Again, if somebody sets foot on your property, it is magical.
If
somebody comes here and visits you, it's such a magical spot. I mean, you can't help but be wowed. And there's so many details. I remember first time I was here in the evening, I turned around because I felt a presence, and there was an ostrich head right above mine. Scared the daylights out of me, but memorable, absolutely. I never forgot that. So there's so much to experience and to see and to take in. And it appears to be so incredibly successful and perfect. And hearing you talk about what it really takes to get there, but also to maintain. It's a daily work.
We have a lot of dedicated people like Allison, a lot of really good, you know, I can set the tone, but I mean, if you don't have really good people that are, and I'm not saying everybody's really good or everybody really good. To me, the most important thing is to be dedicated, to be passionate, I mean, if you're not passionate about what you're doing, do something else. Why are you doing this? If you don't like what you're doing, go find something you do like. And even if you make less money, be happy with your life. So, but we have a lot of good people, and a lot of good people, we try to make sure they don't go away. Yeah. You know, we try to take care of them. I've loaned money for 2 houses. To employees, because they were really good employees, and I can't remember, but we've done a lot of extra things, whether it's loans or I just gave somebody whose husband had some medical problems. I gave her $5,000 yesterday to help her with her medical bills. She's a really good lady, and they've had a lot of tragedy, and so I feel for these people. And you know, so we try to take care, you know, the mediocre ones, go find another job, please.
Yeah.
but the ones that are really good, that care, we don't want to lose them.
So what I'm hearing you say, 2 things keep coming up. One is passion, and the other one is compassion.
Yeah.
Are those the hallmarks of your philosophy?
Well, I'd like to hope that the compassion, certainly I have the passion, and I hope I have the compassion too. I'd like to think so. I mean, when somebody really hurting and in need, you know, you help them out.
And we talked about how saturated the market has become, which from the consumer's point of view is a good thing, right? Because we drink better today than we did 5 years ago and 10 years ago, and it's exponential. So people have a lot of choices. I think that it's important to make educated choices, and your stories have given people the opportunity to learn a bit about you and what drives you as a person and what drives your brand. And your wines are an extension of that. There's a bit of that passion and compassion in what you deliver, which is why it is so worthwhile for people to actually educate themselves a bit. And even if they can't come here, which I hope that they can, but if they cannot, they can still, you ship the wines, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
They can still go on your website. They can still do some research, you know, get some wines and be a part of your story.
Yeah, absolutely they can. And we ship anywhere in the country and even overseas if people want it.
Wow. You sell wines internationally?
Well, people have to order through us.
Shoot. Okay.
We don't sell through distributors.
Okay.
But
directly,
we will ship.
You were able to ship internationally.
Yeah, anywhere in the world. I mean, anywhere in the world that has roads.
Good to know. Well, we've now come to the crowning jewel of your portfolio. Is that correct?
This is a wine that Parker gave 94 points to. This is a 2012 Il Barone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could probably even go longer,
mm-hmm.
Age longer, but see what you think.
So 2012, tell me a little bit about the vintage. I know it was generous. I know it was fruity.
We make, I should preface that. We made 2 reserves in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Il Barone, which is a more masculine, more full-bodied, richer style, and then La Castellana, which mm-hmm. means feminine head of the castle,
mm-hmm.
which is a more feminine, more balanced,
mm-hmm.
A little bit lighter style.
Mm-hmm.
But then more recently, we're making other reserves. We have Don Thomas, mm-hmm. we have Melanson,
mm-hmm.
we have Morosoli Borges, great, great grapes, great wine, and we have Butala.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, oh, and we have Ron, a wrap now, mm-hmm. too, really good.
You have a lot of choices, clearly. as we've talked about earlier, there's an extensive portfolio to choose from. You can buy wines that you can drink almost immediately. Like I said, it's hard to put the glass down. It's a bit of a challenge. But this is something, as I'm smelling it here, it's definitely a conversation right there.
Yeah, it has a beautiful bouquet. I think it's well-balanced. It's rich. It's flavorful. It's a beautiful wine. I'm real happy with it.
Do you participate actively in blending trials?
Yeah, when we have tastings, you know, Brooks, I let him, well, not always, but often I let him make the final decisions. But yeah, I get involved with that.
I can't imagine that you wouldn't be. I wish I was a fly in the wall to hear your comments as the process unfolds.
We have a laboratory up here at what we call the farmhouse in back of the crush pad, and that's where we do our tasting and blending.
So this 2012, obviously, again, comes from a very generous vintage and has just gobs of fruit. It is so generous on the nose. And I'm about to find out on the palate.
This has a little bit of the Cabernet from what I can call our home vineyard, but I think it's principally Cabernet from Morsoli Borges. Have you heard of Morsoli?
I have, Morsoli Vineyard.
Yeah, and his half-brother.
Yeah.
They called it a vineyard. They were about a quarter of a mile, half mile apart.
Yeah.
On the east side of Rutherford Bench and, west side. And so he calls it Morsoli Borges, a beautiful vineyard. And we get most of the grapes from that vineyard.
Wow.
And have a long-term contract for them. We pay them real well, but as long as I can get it at the other end, I'm okay. Yeah.
Well, I always feel like there's somebody else present in my conversations with people such as yourself, and that is a consumer. To me, that's arguably the most important entity because they're the ones that are the recipients of all the hard work and all the headaches and all the trials and triumphs. And we're very blessed in Napa Valley to have the largesse and the hospitality and such extraordinary wines. And there's a part of me that wishes that this person was here at the table listening to your tales and tasting this wonderful wines. I just want you to say a couple of things to this imaginary person that you work so hard to please because your entire life has been dedicated to creating value. That happens to take shape in a wine. But in reality, you pay so much attention to every detail. And the reason you do that is because it's important to you to bring that happiness, to bring that moment of joy to someone.
I think it's a reflection on myself. And it's more, it probably doesn't matter as much how other people perceive me. It's what I think of myself, what I think of, you know, could I do just an average job? Could I blend something in my wine that, yeah, I'm saving money, but it's not going to be as good? I can't do that. And, again, I like making money. But I always strive, whatever I'm doing, to do the best I can. Otherwise, why do it? I mean, if you don't give it everything you have, and then, you know, I'm trying to analyze what I'm saying. Maybe I don't every time give it everything I have, but in general, you want to give it all you have and do the best you can. Otherwise, go do something else, and then give it all you have. Do something you're passionate about, and create something that reflects on you positively, and that's how I feel.
Well, I can't thank you enough for your candor, for your honesty.
I don't know how else to be.
Well, it's refreshing. I think, again, we're so overwhelmed by so many things in life, we forget what matters. And the fact that not only you know what that is, but you did something about it repeatedly. And I think there's so many life lessons in this conversation that we just had, and so much takeaway. And I hope our listeners do get to try your wine and do get to fall in love with it, because that's easy to do. But I also think that it's easy to fall in love with your life's philosophy.
Thank you. I see myself, I saved a beetle 2 days ago. He was on a screen, he was trying to get out, I thought he was dead. I'm no better than a beetle. We're all equal. I'm just an average guy that, just passionate about certain things and trying to do the best. I don't know how to say it. I'm just a cab driver's son. I wasn't born rich no way I'll ever be a snob because I'm, that's not me. This is Irina.
Hello, Irina. Nice to meet you as well.
You know Allison.
No, I don't know Allison.
And this is James.
I need to bring Lupo inside of the house. I'm sorry for the dog, but he's...
Yeah, we kept him in prison because we were afraid he
would... Well over. I just wanted to quick raise a glass to you. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, I apologize, but you had so many interesting things to say.
I get carried away. I digress too much. I'm sorry.
No, please. It's me who should apologize. I knew what the timeline was, but I really want people to hear you.
These are the
salient points that, they're beyond valuable. I mean, I hope everybody listens to this interview because, and I wish I was the recipient of those words when I was young. I think I would have made a lot less mistakes because what you speak is the truth.
Well, thank you. I wish I'd paid more attention to my parents. But I think in the long run, you kind of ignore as a young person what your parents say, but it doesn't go away. And then as you mature, you tend to be much like them. And I think I had a pretty good upbringing.
You are probably one of the most self-aware people I've ever met.
Say it again?
Self-aware. You're remarkably self-aware.
Well, I try to analyze myself, and even while we're talking, I'm doing it, analyzing what I'm saying. Is this baloney or is this 100% the truth?
Hi, baby. Yeah.
Now you see why he was in prison.
But, realistically speaking, most of us don't ask ourselves hard questions, until, we're already in trouble. But I think you asked yourself a lot of questions early on, and maybe the fact that you're so wedded to architecture and how things are actually built brick by brick, you have this mindset that, how many people, literally run around with a notepad and take, drawings or snapshots and write notes about castles.
I'm fanatical, but I think to do something somewhat extraordinary, you have to be fanatical. If you just do things like everybody else, then you're just doing the average, I think.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, I think that people like you are true leaders because leadership quality is exactly what you described. It's not just, getting in a podium and giving a speech. It's really about owning it and having that, you have a culture in your business. Because I've been to your tasting room, not just to parties, and everybody understands what the branding and the messages are, and they do that because they believe in it, not because you tell them to. And that's super important.
Well, I hope so. We're not 100% perfect by any means, but thank you.
That'd be scary.
At least you've met the right pores.
But I mean, to run an organization of this size, because it's a pretty large. I mean, I don't want to say large-scale business because everybody has their own perception of what that is. But certainly you make a lot of wine, you host a lot of people. There's a lot of strings that you're holding. And to do it at that level, my hat's been off to you way before.
Well, thank you. We're constantly trying. We're constantly monitoring. We're trying to reinforce it. We're trying to retrain. But we don't succeed, but maybe we get close. It's not easy. You trained people a certain way, and they do it your way for a little bit, and then they start doing this, and then so you have to retrain them and monitor them, and it's a constant battle.
Well, the fact that you are so tireless about it, I mean, I don't get a sense from you that you've already achieved so much. I mean, we could make a really serious argument that you've done enough, that you could just delegate at this point. You don't have to be hands-on, but yet you are.
Okay. Well, I am delegating. I have to admit, I'm delegating more than I was. At Satui, we have a guy, Tom Davies, who's been with me since 1981. I hired him over a ping pong game, and $5 an hour, and he's great. And here at the castle, we have George Salzner from Austria. I never even checked a reference. I just believed in him and hired him, and he's great. And so anyway, we have some really good people. And we have a woman that runs our tasting room, Henriette Steinbruch from Denmark. She's great. In fact, most of our managers are actually women, when I think about it. Anyway, we have some really good people. And, you know, what makes me feel good, when people come back.
Yeah.
We've had three people in the last 3 months. Savannah Harmon came back. It wasn't greener over the hill. Jeff Close came back. And Amanda came back. Three people in the last few months came back. So that makes me feel good that we're not bastards, that we're decent people to work with.
Well, it's a small valley, and when you're on the inside of it, you know, obviously people talk, and the fact that you have people coming back clearly, I mean, you're very modest because you've accomplished what everybody is vying for. Yeah, you ask any brand, what do they want? DTC. And you've been there for quite some time.
Yeah, but I think I'm just an average guy that just tried a lot. And so I don't think the world of myself. I know I have my faults.
Well, you've been very generous with your time, and the wines are showing beautifully.
Well, thank you.
This has been, you know, really a highlight. And this is a beautiful space, and I can tell how, you know, living here, you know, you are part of that history. You're part of the continuum. I was going to ask you earlier what attracted you to this property, but even sitting here with a splash of wine, I know that, you know, this is something that's truly special.
This is my dream property.
Yeah.
I almost bought a couple other properties. I'm glad I didn't, but this is my dream property.
Yeah. Well, thank
you. No, I'm really happy. I'm real fortunate. I'm lucky. I'm happy. I have a great relationship with the arena. Problem is, I'm getting older.
Thanks again for tuning in to the official podcast of Palate Exposure featuring Ilona Thompson. We'll see you again next week.
Well, I think that your spirit is quite youthful.
Yeah, thank you.
And it shows, and we're all better off being around you. Well, I truly mean
you're
that.
You're sweet. Thank you.
No, I wish I could bottle you. No, I mean it, because your spirit and what I see in your eyes, it's important. That's what. There's existence and there's living. There's fulfilled living.
You're going to make me embarrassed in a minute. So.
No, I mean, if people don't tell you that enough, I mean, you've created so many jobs. I mean, you didn't even know me, and you've very generously offered to sit down with me. Mm. And, you know, I'm very aware of that. So I hope you know how special you are.
Thank you.